Welcome back to another episode of the Bright Brains Podcast. Today, my guest is Lane Raspberry, and he is an expert on gang stalking. So we're going to jump right in. Welcome to the show, Lane. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became familiar with this topic.
Thanks, Isaac. Thanks, Bright Brains, for having me. I am a Wikipedia editor. I do this professionally at the University of Virginia. I've been editing Wikipedia for about 20 years. I've been associated with the university for some years. Trained students to do this, work a lot with librarians on identifying reliable sources and distinguishing more reliable sources from less reliable sources. And professionally at the university, I manage citations in Wikipedia.
So, all right, then. You know, I've never heard of a pro Wikipedia editor before. So when you say pro, does that mean like you get paid to do this? Or that means, it's just...
Yeah, that's exactly what that means. So it is very unusual. Almost everyone contributing to Wikipedia is a volunteer. I'm employed as staff of the university. So it's a salaried position at this university. My title is Wikimedian in Residence. I'm at the university supporting any students or faculty or researchers and sharing their information on Wikipedia. And this is what I do. And I've been with the university since 2018 doing this. So 6 years going on seven.
That's pretty awesome. How did you get that position?
It was just a product of the time. So when I myself was an undergraduate, I started editing Wikipedia in 2004. I did this as a volunteer, as a student. I was editing Wikipedia for some years. And in 2012, I got an offer from a magazine. It's called Consumer Reports, a nonprofit magazine, to be their staff Wikipedian. So it was with a media company. They wanted a relationship with Wikipedia because they are nonprofit. They don't do any advertising, but they share general knowledge of public interest as part of their nonprofit mission and as part of the magazine that they publish. And they wanted a relationship with Wikipedia. They anyone can have a relationship with Facebook or Twitter. Lots of organizations invest in this. There's a few organizations that will seek out nonprofit partnerships with Wikipedia. Typically, museums, libraries, knowledge centers do this. And
that's
so
awesome.
I've been a professional Wikipedia editor since 2012.
All right. Yeah, I had no clue that was a kind of a thing. I didn't know people could leverage being a Wikipedia editor into a paid position. I just kind of thought as Wikipedia editors as people who just did it in their spare time, but that's pretty cool. So let's just jump into the topic, which is gang stalking. And you wrote the Wikipedia article on gang stalking, correct?
That's correct. Yes. I started it. I did the initial research. I wrote, I don't know, 80, 90% of what's in there. Of course, 100 people have come after me. Anyone can edit Wikipedia. They've made changes, added new information. But yes, I put the substance of the article there and started it.
All right, then. So what led you to research this topic and to create the Wikipedia article?
Well, even though I was the first person to create it, I wasn't the first person to attempt to create it. And what I observed was that people were regularly coming, trying to start the article. And the people who were doing this were typically people who were victims of this phenomenon, victims of this conspiracy, this gang stalking. So I've got the records in front of me. And this is pretty unusual for Wikipedia, that people will come from different places in the world and try to start an article, and then it gets deleted if they're not meeting certain quality standards. But this creation and deletion happened in 2005 twice. It happened in 2010, 2011, 2013, 14, 15, and then I finally created the article in 2021. And those are the records that I have of people attempting to create this article. If I had to guess, there's more casual attempts that people made to try to create the article. I would expect that this article, people have tried to create it 20, 30, 40 times. And then I put my own input. I had more experience than some other people, did the research, and then established the article because I thought it was an interesting topic. I'm interested in the idea of a conspiracy or Wikipedia being able to help people organize whatever information is true and accurate if there is a conspiracy, and just helping people organize to say what they want to say. It seemed like an interesting topic. I'll say another reason why I created the article. there's it's possible Wikipedia is a public website and it shares things like the traffic to the different articles. And anyone can see this, but you have to know how to look and how to make the request. I was looking at the amount of people, readers, not editors, not people trying to create the article, but people trying to read on this topic. And it was a lot. And since I've established the article, this is a top 1% article by popularity. So a lot of people are reading this e every month on Wikipedia, trying to get information on this topic. So it's just an unusual situation that a lot of people are trying to create an article and it's not being created. And it's also for a very popular topic that people just aren't finding information on.
Wow, so why do you think so many people are reading about this topic?
My guess is that it's showing up a lot in social media. So, how this let me give a brief introduction of what this
Yeah, what
is,
it is. Yeah,
what it is, and then I'll say
that makes sense.
why it's appearing in social media.
All right.
So the concept of gang stalking is that there's a group of organized people up to no good. And they're stalking, persecuting, and harassing another class of people called targeted individuals. These are the victims. And what this harassment looks like is the victim, it can look in all different ways. And the community speaks for itself. And I haven't experienced this myself. I've just read what's been written about it. So I, excuse me if I'm in error about any of this. But the victims go out in public. And then, in some way or another, there's a group of people, typically that they don't know, strangers, who are organized in a group and talking with each other. And at different points in the person's day and in the life, they're going to come into the person's life and harass them in some way. And it's going to be very subtle. So the person might be going to the store shopping. And in the couple hours that they're out doing their shopping, there's five people who they've never met who coordinate to come into their lives, do something hostile, but not, it's not like punch them in the face on the street hostile. It's more like send hostile messages, get in their way, cause a problem to happen to them while they're out. And collectively, these people plan what they're going to do, plan some kind of hostility. The person goes out, they have a bad day about it, and then perhaps those people come into their lives again. Perhaps they never see them again. But the group of gang stalkers, it can be five people, 10 people. Frequently, it's more than 100, all coordinated in some way, either with each other or with some kind of leader, to disrupt the lives of these people called targeted individuals. So we can talk more about that, like how this works. But your original question was, why did I write about this, or where is this appearing in other media? So these.
Well, we can talk about that, but what I said is, why do you think it's so popular?
Why is it so popular? Okay. It's
Yeah.
because the people who experience this, the targeted individuals, they make a lot of social media posts to websites like YouTube, TikTok. They make their own websites, appear on podcasts. And they talk in online forums. So anywhere that people can organize to talk, the victims gather with each other. They talk with each other about what their shared experience, how to protect themselves, what to do in response, what should you do if this happens to you in your life. And when these things appear in social media, then people who aren't experiencing this in any way, they see it. And it's a bit, excuse me. So I haven't experienced this, but to see people make these claims in social media, it's a bit interesting to see, wow, what can I do? What should I know about this? How can I help this community? What should I think about this experience? And there's so many people who are making social media like this. It does show up in feeds for people who aren't looking for this kind of information, aren't expecting to see this in kind of information. And it's out there in the world for people to view.
All right, so what's your whole interpretation of this? What do you think is going on? Do you think it's legit, or do you think that maybe there are a lot of mentally ill people out there, or do you think maybe it's a combination of both?
I'm going to say it's a combination of both. So definitely if you're talking about any kind of conspiracy, like who has seen UFOs or aliens, there's some people who seem to have really good information. They've seen something that's unexplainable, and I have an open mind. I'm going to hear them out. And there's definitely some people who have seen UFOs or aliens, and there's some kind of mental issue going on there. That just happens. And I'll say the same thing about gang stalking. There's some people who are living very successful lives, no history of mental illness. They're not just completely normal people, just like anyone else, and they have this kind of experience in their life. There's other people who experience gang stalking for a certain number of years, and I'm not going to say that they have a mental issue, but anyone under extreme stress, anyone under harassment, whatever the cause of harassment, that's going to cause mental issues for anyone. Everyone cracks if they're getting stalked and harassed all the time. So a lot of people who report this, I'm not. It just happens. If you're under stress, you're gonna exhibit mental health issues, and then definitely there are people who started with mental health issues, and then they report this kind of phenomenon. So I've got an open mind about it. If I had to say what the order is, there's sources who've written about this, saying that at least 10,000 people, I think, is the number in the United States. This came out of the New York Times. I need to look at the source, but there's a New York Times article about this. And looking at the number globally, we're talking about tens of thousands of people. Many of these people quite reasonable. And no reason to see mental health issues as the fundamental cause of this.
How long does this gang stalking go on for? Is it like something that happens for a short period of time, or is it something that people seem to be dealing with for, on a continual basis?
People who report this kind of experience often report that it stays with them for the rest of their lives. So people have been reporting this kind of phenomenon. There's people who have reported similar things, but something unusual about gang stalking is that it comes from modern technology. So this is a phenomenon since about the year 2000. Some people might say that they've experienced it for longer, but most people, when they're describing how this works, it works because contemporary technology like cell phones are necessary to organize this kind of stalking of them. So we're talking about people since 2000, so people experiencing this for 25 years. But a lot of people who have this, they say sometimes it's lessened and sometimes it's worse. People will go for periods of time where they don't encounter this. They'll make changes in their life, avoid it for a certain amount of times. And some people say it's extra harsh other times, but it does tend to be a lifetime thing. There's some I'll mention some of the sources that a person can use to get oriented to this. There's a media company called Vice, VICE. They published a couple of documentaries where they interviewed people who were having these experiences. Those documentaries are on YouTube. Anyone can watch those. And if you watch those, you can hear people speaking about it in their own words. Those documentaries were made in 2017. There's also some interviews with researchers. You could find the links to those in the Wikipedia article in the references or citation section. And in those, people speak for themselves. I'm not going to recommend any particular accounts on social media or in podcasts or on YouTube, but I'll just say that if somebody knows how to search in YouTube or TikTok or in podcasts, you'll find plenty of people speaking for themselves about their own experiences. So there are ways to get information from the people who have actually experienced this and hear them talking about what it's like for themselves.
Do any of these targeted individuals, have they ever come up with theories about why they're being targeted?
There's a lot of theories. So the consensus is that either nobody knows or it's for different reasons. But in having these discussions and thinking about how it works, there's some common elements that come up. So one of the elements that come up is that most people agree that this is a very complicated endeavor to organize, that it takes something like a corporation or government organization to make this work, because you're talking about mobilizing a group of people when they don't know where a targeted individual is going to go throughout their day. So you have to have some people doing surveillance to find out where a person's going. It often involves doing wiretapping of their cell phone to listen to their conversations, record their messages or emails. So some kind of hacking and surveillance, observing when they leave their house. It's uncertain where a person might travel. Are they driving somewhere, walking somewhere, taking a bus or public transportation? When they get there, how do you quickly get the gang stalkers to go to the store, go to the library, go to the office, go to the public place, follow this person, and then coordinate some kind of can be theater, something like a staged performance where they're doing something fake and harassing that sends message to the person who's the targeted individual. So to coordinate these kinds of things, you need at least one organizer, maybe a team of organizers. You need some kind of office staff. Gang stalkers, they may be paid by a central organization. They may be doing this as some kind of volunteer activity, depending on the person's experience and what they're saying. But you can't do this without a certain amount of money and resources and technology. And about 30 people or maybe significantly more to even plan out this kind of activity. It's quite complicated.
Yeah, I definitely see how, you would need money, time, technology to be able to do this.
Yes.
My question is, has there like have they ever said, I think I'm being gang stalked because I have some information about the government, or because of my money? I'm trying to figure out why
Why?
these people think they're being stalked. Like, is there like any kind of consensus that maybe they're important people, or maybe they know something?
There's rarely certainty and rarely clear communication between the gang stalkers and the targeted individuals. So the targeted individuals are left to speculate, what is this all about? So I'll tell you some common stories.
All right.
I've probably read a couple hundred narratives. The narratives I've read are mostly from people in the United States and the United Kingdom. I'm unaware of what people say in non-English speaking countries about this, but I know there's reports from non-English speaking countries. So some of them say that they're part of government research programs, that this is a military test to that's intended to be deployed on high-level politicians. It's not even intended for the targeted individuals. But for the military to develop these kinds of technologies, they need to test it out on somebody. So a lot of people report that they're under some kind of research testing program, and that they just randomly got chosen, or that somehow somebody in their lives, maybe someone they had a conflict with, nominated them or sold their name to the government agency that's doing this kind of research. So either they were randomly pulled out or someone in their life nominated them to go into a government research program, and they're being tracked hostily by a government that's using this in military or selling the technology somehow for use for more serious targets. Another reason why this could happen, there's apps that people put on their phone, games like Pokemon Go. It's a very popular app where people go around the city and in you wave your phone around and you can find Pokemon, the popular game. You catch these around the city, and it's fun. It's just a recreational thing. There's also other kinds of apps that you can put in your phone that will, if you go to a new city, they can help you with tourism. Say, like, if you walk this way, you'll see a public monument or public art, or let's go on a walking tour of the city, and this is fun. So in this model, people report that there's gang stalking apps, and that random people download these apps on their phone, and they participate in gang stalking for their own fun and pleasure and enjoyment, and maybe just because they're mean people who think it's funny to harass other people. And in this model, all these gang stalkers, they're being organized by an app or electronic technology. They don't know who they're going to meet. They have no relationship with the targeted individual, but they're doing what in the same way that the Pokemon app tells a person, you go walk 200 feet in this direction and you're going to encounter a virtual Pokemon. their app is telling them, you go in 200 feet in this direction and look for this kind of person. They're going to be dressed like this. They look approximately like this. And when you get to them, here's your mission. Your mission is to make a silly face to them, or your mission is to show them some kind of hand sign that you don't understand, but they're going to understand what that means. Or go into the store where they're shopping, and just act hostile to them. Act like you're going to take something out of their basket, or when they get in line, get in their way and take a really long time in front of them in line to disrupt their day. So that's another reason that people claim that there's the people don't know why they're doing it. They're not getting paid. It's not part of research, but there's some kind of organization of people who like to tease or harass or stalk other people for recreation or fun, and these people are doing it. And finally, there's people who believe that for whatever reason there is something special about their lives. They may not know what that is exactly, but they think that they weren't chosen randomly. There's something about their lives or where they live or their conditions or their past experiences that makes them the perfect target for being gang stalked, like they were specifically chosen for who they are. And this can be for lots of reasons. It could be that they had some mission in life. They're trying to do some good thing, and that there's some kind of malevolent force of evil that's bringing this into their life so that they don't achieve the good mission that they're trying to do. It's always ambiguous, and maybe these explanations aren't the most satisfying thing, but the best answer to your question is that people have ideas, they have guesses, but if they ever try to approach the people who are stalking them and say, "Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this?" they'll also report that the stalkers deny that they're stalking. They don't get straight answers from anyone, and they don't know how to get straight answers from anyone.
Are there any proof of these gang stalking apps?
There are no proof of the gang stalking apps.
Gotcha.
In the YouTube videos, in the online documentation, I've never seen evidence, anyone taking screenshots, anyone showing these things. I myself have not seen proof that these apps exist.
Do you have any kind of specific instances or stories that you read or researched that made you go, maybe there's some truth to this?
Yeah, I'll point to that Vice video documentary that I mentioned. I think they had it's a closed media house now. They've shuttered operations. They're no longer making documentaries, but I think they were a good documentary company at the time. And I think the people in that video, in that documentary, they're very sincere. They talk about organizing and helping other targeted individuals to get support. Some of the more compelling evidence to me is that so many people report having the same experience, and that makes me think there must be something to this, that you have all these people who are living normal lives, and when I hear their accounts, when I read what they're saying, listen to them, I think, could this happen to me? Could this happen to anyone? And I imagine, yes, it could. There's nothing. These people seem like my friends. They seem like people close to me, and this is people from all walks of life re report having these kinds of experiences. So you have professionals, you have people from rich families, people from poor families, people in very very fortunate backgrounds, people from unfortunate backgrounds. It seems to affect people from all walks of life. Like I mentioned, people who are experiencing this for a few years, they do start to have mental health issues from the stress of being stalked, but who wouldn't have mental health issues from being stalked for a long time? But that's the strongest evidence I have that there's something to this, just that so many individual people say that they're reporting the same thing. And you wanted to hear about a conspiracy, and this is the one that I got to present to you.
Hey, sorry to interrupt, but are you looking to reach a dynamic and engaged audience of curious minds? Well, look no further. Bright Brains Podcast is the perfect platform to showcase your business or product. You'll be able to reach a diverse, intelligent audience and engage with listeners passionate about personal development, technology, and more. elevate your brand through thought-provoking discussions. Don't miss this opportunity to promote your business on one of the fastest-growing podcasts in the market. Contact us today to discuss advertising options and elevate your brand to the next level. Contact us at brightbrainspod@gmail.com to secure your advertising spot on Bright Brains today. Again, that's Bright Brains with a Z, pod, P-O-D, at gmail.com. Now, back to the podcast.
Gotcha. I think the theory that you gave about, you know, this being some kind of like training exercise for like politicians or important people, like maybe the FBI, NSA, just pick somebody random and says, hey, follow this guy around, try not to get caught, and just report back. And maybe they also want to kind of analyze the mental health effects of a person who is, like you said, being stalked will cause you to have stress and cause you to have mental issues. Maybe they want to research how a person reacts to being followed and things like that.
That's I think a very popular theory. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you also said that you wanted to talk about how Wikipedia covers conspiracy theories and how anyone can use Wikipedia as a way of sharing evidence of conspiracies.
I would like to talk about that because I think this is a good case of this.
All right.
So one of the issues, I told you that many people, targeted individuals, tried to create a Wikipedia article on gang stalking, and the Wikipedia community of editors and reviewers kept deleting this for years. And I'd like to explain why, because this applies to this case and this applies to other conspiracies, other things that start, people think they're conspiracies, but they actually get verified as being true. So the way Wikipedia works is that Wikipedia is an encyclopedia. One definition of an encyclopedia is that it's a summary of what other people have already published. And in Wikipedia, the reviewers of Wikipedia, they're looking for publications from reliable sources, from experts, from information that has a quality control system. And to the Wikipedia reviewers, that can mean established newspapers, journalists with reputable magazines. It can mean researchers who are employed by universities and publishing scholarly academic publications through existing journals. The kinds of sources that Wikipedia reviewers will not accept are self-published sources, meaning one person writes something and then they publish it on their social media account or they publish it to a website. Wikipedia reviewers also don't like sources that are very new or where they can't tell what kind of editorial process there is and what kind of fact checking it is. So even if it's a few people, say like three people start a podcast and one person's the editor, one person's the technical consultant for getting the audio, and one person's the journalist. If the podcast has only existed for a little while and it doesn't publish its fact checking process, and it just doesn't seem as like a reputable podcast, like it's new and it's just starting out, then the Wikipedia reviewers won't accept those kinds of things. So what was happening in Wikipedia for so many years is that targeted individuals were sending self-published sources to Wikipedia saying, let's write an article on gang stalking and we're going to cite this one person's experience. So they'd interview a person. The person would say, this is what happened to me. And that would just be the one report from the one person. And they'd try to cite that in Wikipedia. Sometimes there would be actual organizations, groups of people who all had the shared experience. And they felt so strongly about it, they would establish a website. And it's the kind of thing that would be reputable if it was around a few years longer. But if they set up a website and they only publish a couple of papers, and then it turns out the website goes defunct after 3 or 4 years. They were really, really enthusiastic the first couple of years, but then they just didn't keep it up. Then Wikipedia reviewers say that's probably not a quality source. It's probably not up to the standard we want. So when I actually made the article, it was because the New York Times had published an article about gang stalking, like a full article saying, here's what it is, here's how many people are experiencing it. And we could the reviewers accepted that as a quality source. And also there was a reviewer, a researcher, PhD at a university, a sociologist, who wrote a couple of papers about the phenomenon, interviewing a lot of people and trying to do a review of what the community had said about itself. When I was able to cite those sources, another one that I was able to cite was from a magazine called Psychology Today. They ran multiple articles on this phenomenon. So between the New York Times as a newspaper, Psychology Today as a magazine, it's not entirely for psychologists. It's a magazine that typical people, non-psychologists can read. And we have something written by researchers for researchers. Then that could come to be in Wikipedia. What I regret is that there were about 10 years in Wikipedia where you have all these people trying to create the Wikipedia article, and they didn't have anything to cite. They didn't have any reliable sources, but they're doing their best. And in addition to the people who are trying to write the article, I feel sorry for all the people who wanted to read something in Wikipedia, and then Wikipedia didn't have anything to provide to those readers because we didn't have any reliable sources to summarize and cite to get the Wikipedia article started. And I fear and regret that this happens a lot in Wikipedia to a lot of so-called conspiracy theories, that there's something there. There's thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of people who are discussing things in different places on the internet, who have some amount of evidence, but it just hasn't been picked up yet by a professional journalist, a professional researcher. And it's not that a journalist or researcher wouldn't write about it. It's just that they haven't made the social connection. And I feel that by the time the New York Times actually wrote about this topic, it was beyond ripe. Like it, this could have really done well for a journalist career if they had been in a small town newspaper and written about this 5, maybe even 10 years earlier. It would have been a really interesting story for some magazine or for some newspaper to pick up. And by the time the New York Times wrote about it, it's quite a developed story with thousands of people talking about this online, a lot of information out there. So what I wish for the future of Wikipedia, and I can't, it's hard for me to say what could change in Wikipedia to get stories prepared before they've appeared in journalism or research. But now that this article is here, I wish that targeted individuals, people who experience gang stalking, could go to Wikipedia discussion pages, and if they have any questions, say, here's some evidence I have. Can somebody help me determine whether we can get any part of this into Wikipedia? Or supposing somebody has videos that they're posting to YouTube, pictures that they're posting to social media otherwise, those could be illustrations in the Wikipedia article if anybody were willing to share them. And that's not just about the gang stalking issue. That's about any topic in Wikipedia, but especially these underserved, underrepresented topics like fringe ideas and conspiracy theories.
Lately, America has been having this discussion about misinformation and the
Sure.
role. It seems like there's so much false information out there being spread on social media. And then we got AI
Yeah.
making like fake images and soon fake video. Where do you see this going? Like, how do we discern truth in this coming digital age? And will Wikipedia play a role in discerning that truth?
The Wikipedia community of editors certainly believe so. I believe so as well. The short answer to your question, how do we discern truth? My wish is that we discern it with humans, grassroots community organization, with democracy, with open conversation, and with civil, friendly discussion that respects multiple perspectives. And the contrast to that, the alternative to that, is that truth could be determined by mass media companies. I don't want that. I want the power in the hands of citizens. Truth could be determined by technology companies who aren't really even in the media business, but they just incidentally produce artificial intelligence technology that makes them very effective in media. Even if they didn't want to originally get in the media business, suddenly they are in the media business because the technology enables them to publish fake pictures, fake news, disinformation, and all kinds of things. I'm especially scared of government propaganda, a hostile government sharing misinformation for political reasons. And the political reason that happens is if you get a population scared, if you give them misinformation, then you can have bad actors take over high-level government positions and grab all the money in the country's treasury or a huge amount of it, all kinds of scams for money. And this can happen through media. This can happen through subverting democracy and elections. So I don't want either politicians or governments or tech companies or media houses having control over all the media narratives. I want people to be organized somehow. Now, I hate to say that Wikipedia is the only option or the best option. It's not, but I certainly think that Wikipedia is a very powerful option for community organizing when not many other options exist. So some things that I like about Wikipedia is that one, I really respect that Wikipedia has a code of conduct and a civility policy, which means that come what may, and this is different from other social media websites, come what may on Wikipedia, everyone's required to be polite and nice to each other. You can't do other social media websites. You can do name calling. You can do insults. And in Wikipedia, we really want everyone to have a voice, no matter what your politics, no matter what your perspectives is. But there's we run mediation and we run debates in a civil way that everyone has to be nice to each other. So some people say you should just have complete freedom of speech, and Wikipedia doesn't allow that. We set rules to say you have to be nice. So there are some speech restrictions in Wikipedia, but other platforms, in my view, they just don't have speech restrictions, and they're worse for it because if you spoil the mood, if you have negativity everywhere, even if you have completely free speech and it turns out to be mostly negative, the free speech isn't helping you. It's best to have some moderated conversations to keep people on point. To say, be brief, get your point across. You can share your evidence. No name calling, no putting down the other side. Let's let every side present themselves as the best. And I really re respect that of all the platforms, I think Wikipedia does this the best. Something else that I really like about Wikipedia is that it attempts to be global and multilingual. So if you have different people in different countries who disagree on things, Wikipedia tries to provide translators. Sometimes this means using computer, artificial intelligence, AI translators. Sometimes, for very serious issues, donations to Wikipedia, they go to funding actual human interpreters and translators. So this is a big part of Wikipedia is getting people with different points of view, opposing points of view, to meet each other and talk things out. And to have quality content in Wikipedia, that often means hiring translators, hiring organizers for volunteer translators, and sometimes hiring live interpreters so that people who are in disputes, who speak different languages, can meet each other. And even if they can't come to agreement of how things can be, they can come to agree, okay, this side says this thing, and this other side says something else. They don't have to agree with each other, but now we're at least both aware of what the other side is saying. So I like the idea of having a global perspective. An advantage of this is that if one country is getting propaganda from their government or getting propaganda from their media, then through Wikipedia, they can start to get a perspective from another country that isn't under the control of their own government's propaganda. And so there's not a lot of places on the internet that have these kinds of mediated discussions. Looking beyond this, and I'm just going to say I feel like I wish this is a wish. It's not something that's in place, but it's just a wish. Every country has universities, and universities aren't entirely equipped to talk with each other globally. Not every university has relationships with universities in other countries, and universities can become corrupted too through government persuasion, sometimes even military persuasion through media persuasion, financial corruption, corporate corruption. This can happen to universities as well. But in general, I think that if you have a group of people with PhDs who have committed themselves to education at universities through traditional university education, then they're often more trustworthy than you would find in other places. And I wish that universities could have a more of a role to play in countering misinformation and helping the public negotiate the difference between truth and non-truth. And of course, this is difficult if a university is ever pressured by the government not to say certain things. But when there's university freedom, I think it's better for a society.
I agree. I remember when I was in school, in high school and in college, we were told to never use Wikipedia as a source when writing a paper because, they saw it as unreliable because anybody could edit it. But in my experience, I've never been had a bad experience with Wikipedia. I use it all the time. I don't edit it, but I get a lot of good info from Wikipedia. So my question is, what is your thought on people saying don't use Wikipedia as a reliable resource?
Yes, it's accurate, but that's a misleading source. So I'll just repeat it back to you. Do not cite Wikipedia. Do not consider Wikipedia to be a reliable source. But as I've just told you, Wikipedia is a reflection and a summary of reliable sources. So when there's information in Wikipedia, there's a citation after that claim. You can click on that citation and you can read the original source, which Wikipedia is summarizing. So if somebody really doesn't want to summarize Wikipedia, then Wikipedia is still a collection of citations and references to curated expert sources, the best that people have been able to find and propose to Wikipedia. And I think the Wikipedia editorial process does a really good job of saying, hey, here we are, everybody in the world who has anything to say about this topic, can you please give us the best sources, published sources that you're able to find anywhere in the world on this topic? And I'm confident in the article for gang stalking that the Wikipedia community has done that. I've added the sources that I can find. Other people have added additional sources, and it's the same otherwise. So some of the problems that can come up in Wikipedia are maybe somehow the community hasn't found sources that an expert would know about. Like it's very difficult to find. Wikipedia's got a list of citations, but if we ask every expert in the world, what did we miss? Maybe they would suggest something else. The more time that goes on and the more people that look at an article, I think the more likely it is that people will propose, say, why haven't you added this? Why haven't you added this? And behind the Wikipedia articles, if you view Wikipedia on a desktop computer, it's also possible on the mobile. It's a little more difficult, but there's a talk page where if you've got any complaint about the Wikipedia article, you can complain, why aren't you covering this? Or why are you misrepresenting this? The more editors you have of a Wikipedia article and the more people you have reading it, the more likely someone is to squeal and complain if something went wrong. And now that this gang stalking article has been up for a few years, if it was missing any major sources, I think somebody would have squealed or complained if there was something wrong. And I do trust that Wikipedia is fair in not deleting complaints. Any complaint about Wikipedia, it's public and it's permanent. Anyone can read the list of complaints about any Wikipedia article. I personally trust that process and the technology. There's not really a way for the Wikipedia editors or for Wikipedia as a corporation or even for any government to delete comments or complaints about Wikipedia if people have criticism. I completely trust that technology as much as I trust any technology. And so even if there's problems with Wikipedia, I think it's a good system for asking the public and taking public comment that if there's a problem with it, somebody should speak up and we'll take your comment seriously.
Earlier, you had mentioned about one of your biggest worries is government propaganda. I actually just interviewed a guy the other day who was talking about Russiagate and how he believed that the American government was saying that Russia was had interfered with the election, and it wasn't really true. They were putting misinformation out there to get people to believe in like Russian hackers and Russian bots and things like that. So my question to you is, do you have any examples of recent government propaganda that you see being put out there and that worries you? And how could we go about better fighting back against it?
So there's let me say there's a couple of kinds of propaganda. There's well-meaning propaganda. So anytime a government says anything, whether it's true or not, it's propaganda. They're choosing what to say, they're choosing when to say it, and they're choosing how to say it. So it's propaganda is media to influence public thought at scale, somehow associated with a large entity, a corporation, a government, these kinds of things. It doesn't have to be bad. There's also bad propaganda, where someone knows that they're lying, knows that they're spreading information. They're trying to persuade people in a way that's not in their interest, or that's going to harm people. It's got some kind of malevolent purpose. So some examples of I would say more well-meaning propaganda, and I'm or more sincere propaganda. And I'm saying sincere is maybe not the right word. Let me just explain the situation, and I'll tell you this kind of propaganda. Imagine
All right.
that any two countries are at war, and let's just assume that both countries want the best for their citizens. Let's say they both feel justified in their war. And I'm not thinking of anyone in particular. Think of any war at any time. I don't want to tie this to current events or public events. But historically, news stations are not going to run the propaganda of the other country to their citizens. There's just not a meeting of minds. Citizens of one country at war do not talk to the citizens of the other country with which they're at war. And they're also unaware, generally, of what the other side is saying in their own words. We're in an age of internet where if two countries are at war, citizens can get online and talk with citizens in the other country. Often there's language barriers, sometimes there's not. Now we're in an age of translation where people can translate comments from other people. Citizens can watch the news broadcasts that are coming out of other countries. And I think that Wikipedia is a good meeting ground for any country to review the propaganda coming out of the other country. The sincere, well-meaning comments that are coming out of one country, because we're talking about citizens on a scale of like millions of people. I wouldn't say if two countries are at war, I'm not going to say the entire population of either country is villainous. Like, these are people trying to live their best lives. I feel sorry for anyone tied up in a war, and I like that Wikipedia can make such people meet each other. I think what you're asking about is more like dirt. Who's doing nefarious things on Wikipedia? When have we caught people? So, for example, in Russia right now, there is a Russian Wikipedia editor community, and these are our friends, these are our colleagues, these are very, very sincere, well-meaning Wikipedia editors. They care about art, and they care about culture, and they care about their history. They edit Wikipedia like anyone else, and they're part of the international community, and we all knew them. The Russian government cut off access to Wikipedia, so people in Russia cannot typically read Wikipedia. And right now, the international Wikipedia community is cut off from our colleagues in Russian language Wikipedia and Wikipedia editors living in Russia. That's really all I can say about that. And I feel like I'm not going to say anything good about that. I'm going to say this is wholly bad. I feel like everyone in the world has a right to edit Wikipedia, and everyone in the world has the right to read Wikipedia. There's other ways to sort out your differences than having a government shutdown of access to Wikipedia. I don't like that. And when these kinds of things happen, I feel like it's a control of the media narrative. And it cuts off certain perspectives, and it enforces other perspectives. I'm not going to point to other cases. I'm going to say in Wikipedia's history, there's not a well-understood major narrative or conspiracy where a government has rewritten lots of Wikipedia articles at scale to influence a perspective. I'll say in Wikipedia, we have semi-documented cases of certain governments editing quite a few Wikipedia articles for unclear reasons that must include propaganda, but who knows what else is going on, that didn't happen in English language, that have happened in other languages, so are difficult for me to read because I can't read if I can't read the languages in which these things happened. And that we were unable to organize free and open, safe conversation for the concerned Wikipedia editors to explain what exactly happened in their country and in their language community. And if it's not clear, if anyone doesn't know this, Wikipedia exists in about 300 different languages. So we have people editing Wikipedia all over the world in all kinds of languages. These topics that exist in one article. So if you have an article on a given war, you better believe that it's going to exist in every language community that's affected by that war. And for a great many articles, they're translated into every language that's culturally relevant to translate them into.
Yeah, Wikipedia is fascinating. So I have a couple more questions. What advice would you give to somebody who is interested in editing Wikipedia or getting involved with that?
My advice, create a Wikipedia account, and for your first edit, so make a first edit as soon as possible. And the way you can make a first edit is go into a newspaper or go into a magazine that's reliable, find a fact that's interesting, and try to add one sentence and cite that source to Wikipedia. If you get that far, a sentence matched to a citation is the building block of Wikipedia. And if you can get so far as to add one sentence in citation, you'll really have a good understanding of how Wikipedia works, what the fact-checking process is, and how to talk with other Wikipedia editors. After you've added one sentence and one citation to Wikipedia, then I would suggest going to any article that you like, reading it, trying to find a question about it, a criticism even, something that you're unsure about, and then going to the talk page of that article and asking a question. If you ask a question, then you understand that Wikipedia has a behind the scenes group of editors and reviewers. Of course, everyone knows this, but if you can actually talk to these people, it opens up a new world in Wikipedia where it's not just something you read, it's a community with which you can interact and ask questions. So once you've opened up the world to be able to talk to actual humans, you can ask a question and they get an answer within an hour. You'll have a completely different experience with Wikipedia, and anything that you want to talk about 24 hours a day, there's somebody who wants to talk about it with you.
Awesome. Hey, this has been a great discussion, Lane. I learned a lot today, not just about gang stalking, but also about Wikipedia and how it operates. Is there any last word you want to give? And also, do you have anything to promote?
I just want to promote Wikipedia. I think it's a heck of a website. Check it out. Read an article on it. Nothing else that I'll say. Try to make some friends with Wikipedia editor. Say hello to them. Go say thank you to them in the Wikipedia website.
Awesome. All right then. Hey, thanks a lot. This has been a great episode, and enjoy the rest of your day, Lane. Take
Thanks so
care.
much, Isaac.
All right, that's a wrap. Thank you for joining us for another enlightening conversation here on Bright Brains. I hope you've gained valuable insights and inspiration to fuel your own bright ideas. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to like and subscribe, rate, and leave a review on your favorite podcast platform or however else you listen to this podcast. Also, we can be found on all major social media. Just type in Bright Brains with a Z. And remember, the brightest minds are those that never stop seeking knowledge.